Residents and activists in Venice Beach say police are harassing community members and the homeless as a new wave of gentrification hits the city, best known for its eclectic beach-loving population. Last Wednesday, dozens of homeless people lost their personal belongings when the Los Angeles Bureau of Sanitation, in cooperation with the LA Police Department, raided a homeless encampment at 3rd Street between Rose and Sunset Avenues in Venice. Los Angeles City Councilman Bill Rosendahl said the city was conducting a sanitation action that was only meant to sweep up abandoned property. The homeless disagree and say their personal items, including prescription medications, wallet, and clothing, were indiscriminately collected and immediately dumped into garbage trucks. Adding to the outrage of the community is a feeling of betrayal because police began directing the homeless to the 3rd Street encampment when the city began enforcing a no-camping ordinance on the boardwalk, which displaced many homeless individuals. Venice residents from the Oakwood neighborhood and others also report an increase in community members being ticketed by police for small infractions, such as not having a fence around a home properly painted. Joining me in studio this morning are three Venice activists. David Bush is an activist with the Spirit of Venice Coalition, Maria Fitzsimmons, an organizer with People Organized for Westside Renewal, or POWER, and Kendra Moore, who is a POWER leader and president of the Holiday Venice Tenant Action Committee. Welcome to Uprising, David, Maria, and Kendra.
Hey, hi.
Hello. Thanks for having us this morning.
Well, David, let me start with you. You've been on Uprising before to talk about issues in Venice. What did this particular raid by the LAPD that I mentioned earlier of the homeless encampment at 3rd Street, what did it represent for the city's history? How significant was it?
Well, the fact is it's been so underplayed by the media. So many of the actions in Venice in recent years by LAPD and city officials against poor artists and homeless people and boardwalk vendors, that it's hard to get a perspective on it. But the truth of the matter is it was possessions of over 100 homeless people that had been herded into an encampment after they closed, and street vendors and street hippies. You know, this word homeless, of course, is what we used to be called hippies when I first came there in 1980. It actually was the largest police action against street people in Los Angeles since the Safer Cities Initiative, about 6 years ago. It was unprecedented. It was with foreknowledge. They came down with no warning whatsoever. In fact, after putting out a disinformation campaign that would be safe there in this new encampment, since they decided they were going to close off Venice Beach's boardwalk, which everybody in Los Angeles enjoys 24 hours a day in the last couple of months, they've suddenly said, now, Venice Beach is closed at midnight. Doesn't open till 6 a.m. to surfers, people who want to take a midnight stroll, whatever. They heard it at all the folks that used to go down there at night and onto this one street. They came down with no warning whatsoever, seized all our stuff and hauled it off in 3 trash trucks. Mm-hmm. It was the biggest raid against a street community in Los Angeles since the Safer Cities Initiative. Mm-hmm.
Kendra Moore, let's talk about Oakwood, the Oakwood neighborhood, which is experiencing erosion of the rights of renters to affordable housing and is another sort of aspect to the wave of gentrification that this raid also symbolized. Tell us what Oakwood, what sort of neighborhood Oakwood is in Venice, and what are some of the challenges that residents are facing?
Oakwood is a community of where it's diverse now, which it used to be mostly a Black and Latino community, which was gentrified starting in 1980. We experienced gentrification where a lot of the Black families and Latino families were gentrified out by them coming through, harassing, rather. You had too many cars parked in your driveway, or rather your fence wasn't the right color or it wasn't the right size. So we experienced a lot of them coming through gentrifying and putting us out of our residence and displacing us due to the way our property looked. It wasn't up to standards and being harassed.
And this was when?
This was, this been going on since the early 1980s.
And it still continues today?
Still is continuing on. And we've been fighting gentrification in our neighborhoods of harassment of, you know, some of our elderly people are on fixed incomes and they've been living in their residence for over 50 something years. And because they're on a fixed income, and now that this community has been developed to an upscale community, and people come in with this new look, and because their property is not to the look that the new developers are coming in developing, these residents are being targeted and harassed for the look of their property.
Now, tell us about the fight to purchase a Venice building, the Holiday Venice Apartments, to get a Section 8 housing development.
Yes, we have been through a struggle of fighting to save Holiday Venice, which is now known as Breezes Del Mar. There are 15 buildings, which are 247 units of low-income families. Those buildings were built in the early 70s, and those buildings have been sold off to different developers. This last developer who bought the buildings in 1990, which is Greg Perlman, and we were into a long 10-year fight to save these buildings. Our dream was to purchase these buildings so that they can always stay affordable in the Venice community for low-income families, very low-income, moderate families, so that they can have affordable housing in Venice, which those buildings are the last affordable buildings that were built on the west side, close to the beach shoreline. Mm. So we wanted to save those buildings so that they could be affordable forever.
Right.
Unfortunately, we were not able to purchase those buildings because it wasn't a good time for Greg Perlman to sell, which it was a good time at that time to buy. But because he was not willing to sell at that time, mm-hmm. we did win a 20-year contract that he re-signed the contract with HUD to save those buildings to be affordable for the next 20 years.
Maria, tell us about the general effort then. Is Venice being seen by elites, by the city of Los Angeles as a prime piece of real estate to gentrify, to bring money into the area?
Certainly, there's new developments happening all the time, and technically those developments are supposed to have a certain amount of affordable housing so that the image of Venice, the Venice that is today and has been, gets to remain there for as many people as possible. It's a neighborhood and it's a resource because of its location near the coast. But we're supposed to be preserving that so that as many people as possible can maintain access to it. And new developments are going in every day that don't comply with legislation that says that they're supposed to maintain affordable housing. And so there's a definite shift in the way that it looked and feels to middle and low income families and individuals who have lived there for generations.
So the law is for affordable housing is not being respected, and yet the laws on how houses should look and fences should be painting is being enforced.
Right. We're talking about lots of different kinds of code enforcement here,
and
for
really,
houses,
really
as well
dramatically,
as
especially in the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And certainly a question of jurisdiction between Los Angeles laws and the Coastal Commission's mm-hmm. laws.
David Bush, what does this mean for street people, as you call them?
Well, I think it means a lot for street people. Venice has always been a place where beatniks, Jack Kerouac, and hippies and folks, street artists, have come traditionally, going back to like Jim Morrison, to create this really unique Venice and Los Angeles culture of mixing of all kinds of races and income classes.
And that's all in danger now?
Like it's never been before. I think people who've been hearing about things like this proposal for a 20-story luxury Ferris wheel, this is not for families or for somebody who works in a warehouse and wants to bring their kids down to Venice Beach anymore. This is for people who can pay $15 or more to ride a Ferris wheel and along with it sit in an air-conditioned gondola and be served beer and wine.
So for tourists and for really wealthy Angelinos.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's not for them. They won't, anybody coming down there won't. The tourists won't be seeing Los Angeles anymore. They'll be looking at each other. And, you know, they'll be looking at, I don't know, what are they going to do? Hire a bunch of out-of-work actors and have them portray homeless people? That's how, no, this is really it. This is, I think what we're seeing with these proposals to close Venice Beach at night, that's in direct violation of every California Coastal Commission law. The city of L.A. has gone on a lawless rampage in Venice in the last couple of years with the kicking out of people whose last affordable housing was their RVs. And then these increased code enforcements in Venice. They are out to destroy Venice. And we're here to say we need to start in the coming weeks. We hope to be coming back and telling people that if you want to look at the forefront of gentrification, affordable housing, and street culture and poor people's rights in Los Angeles, the ground zero is Venice Beach.
Well, who exactly is leading this effort? I mean, one name that is coming up in some of the media reports is Bill Rosendahl, a Los Angeles City Councilman, who had called the raid a so-called sanitation action. Is he the person or are there others that are involved in cahoots with developers? Maria?
Well, I mean, Bill Rosendahl has worked with Power and other Venice leaders in the past and has been a resource for us. But it really is about community leaders maintaining their voices, maintaining pressure on the situation to remain vigilant about this continual wave of gentrification, a continual move to take this community from their hands.
And who is leading this move among our elected officials?
Well, it depends really on who the community members are able to maintain pressure on. So we've maintained pressure on Bill Rosendahl. Power has an ongoing effort to build relationships and maintain pressure on other elected officials and the mayor and in other ways, state officials as well.
David?
Sonali, what I would say is that is the question. Who is really behind this? Because Bill Rosendahl, to give him all credit, when this raid actually came down, he spent he called me up, and I was in constant contact with him for 2 days to stop all three of those sanitation trucks and help as many of us as possible get all our possessions back. He's really, I think we have to say, the man in the middle. What we want to know is who really is behind him. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at people like the developer who just leased Google, the world's largest search engine, their largest Southern California headquarters in the old Binoculars building in Venice. That's who we want to talk to. And The people at Digital Domain, one of the world's largest special effects companies, these people that are promoting the West Coast largest Ferris wheel. These are huge developments, you know, and taking over the people's beach. They see dollar signs. We see a cultural wetlands, you know. We have these wetlands. It's a place where salt water and fresh water meets and life springs up and all its diversity and creativity. And what we have in Venice Beach is a unique cultural wetlands. They had, you know, a theme park, which is what they're trying to rebuild in Venice right now with this Ferris wheel and this other stuff, called Pacific Ocean Park back in the 60s. It bombed. It was a financial failure. All the developers back then said, oh, it would bring all this prosperity to Venice and be great for Los Angeles. What made Los Angeles, what draws 16 million visitors to Venice Beach every year these days, were hippies, street people.
The street vendors.
Yeah, and the travelers. The travelers, right. The youth travelers that for generations have been able to thumb up and down the coast and be able to spend a night or two on the beach. We think what Venice Beach needs is not a carousel, but free camping for kids on the beach. And we're hoping that Google, who believes in freedom on the internet, will believe in freedom for kids on the beach on its front door and a place for homeless people on his back door.
Hmm. Finally, Kendra Moore, what do you think needs to happen here in Los Angeles? What sort of solidarity do you hope to bring? And Maria, I'd like to ask you about that as well.
I'd like to see in Los Angeles that people of the homeless people and people of low income get more respect, because it seems to me that with my experience of fighting for housing and that housing is a human's right, that we be more respected for not being less human just because of our income and nowhere to live and stay, that we need to get more, we need to have our mayor to look more into looking to get more affordable housing built on the west side, because we're lacking affordable housing, low-income housing on the west
Maria,
side.
Maria, is there an event that people can find out more about?
Well, you can contact Power, and our website is power-la.org. You can also call our office at 310-392-9700. And the real point, I think, that David made, as well as Kendra, is that our work has been, you know, it's the people who will go out and get those things done. We don't wait for the goodwill of legislators to make the changes we need to see.
Well, I want to thank the three of you very much for joining us today. Maria Fitzsimmons, an organizer with Power, People Organized for West Side Renewal. Kendra Moore is a Power leader and president of the Holiday Venice Tenant Action Committee. David Bush, an activist with the Spirit of Venice Coalition. Thanks so much. Best of luck to you. For Sonali's subversive thought for the day, Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Law and order exist for the purpose of establishing justice. And when they fail in this purpose, they become the dangerously structured dams that block the flow of social progress."